All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome, brothers. You're welcome. Hopefully that edified you and the sisters. Now let's talk about Philippians 4, verses 1 through 5. Anything jump out at you, brother?
For me, it's an awesome study. I guess verse 1, you found it pretty good on it, but, you know, I'm not sure if we can expound enough on how dearly beloved and longed for the true saints of God are.
Amen.
And how precious and rare, and, yeah, they're worth more than gold or silver, all the jewels in the world. I mean, the precious blood of Christ had to purchase them, so they're worth more than anything the world has to offer.
Amen. And as I always tell people, they're the only thing you can take with you from this life.
Amen.
And then Paul's pouring out to us, telling us, I love that part, beloved, long for, my joy, and my crown. That's pretty awesome. Paul poured himself out for the people of God. Obviously, for Christ first, he longed to know just Christ crucified, and just the knowledge of Christ made everything else dung. How much more should we be that imitating example of Brother Paul?
Amen. And then, you always mentioned that Brother Pergos, you go?
You finish your thought, Brother Zelos.
Okay. We sometimes can forget that the chapter and verses weren't there in the original. So I just found interesting. He tells them, therefore, and then he praises them for how he loves them, and he says, so stand fast in the Lord. It's kind of a continuation of the last study you did from Philippians 3, where it's like, our conversation is in heaven, where we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to basically change us and subdue all things, and that's the way we're supposed to stand fast in the Lord.
Amen.
We keep standing fast, having our conversation in heaven, in the biblical truth, in sound doctrine, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the truth of God. So it's awesome. We stand in him, and basically, like, he's our rock, and nothing can move us.
Yeah. Isn't it? I know you and I both preached at an event today, and every time I go out preaching, whether it's witnessing one-on-one in the streets or going to an event, I'm just always amazed. How can people that call themselves Christians read the Bible? I mean, any book, probably any chapter, and not see all that the saints of God are called to do. We hear this all the time. Oh, we don't have to do nothing. That's because they're not reading the Word. They're not studying the Word. They don't abide in the Word. They're not remaining in the Word. Right there. Look what he tells us. Stand fast in the Lord. That's part of our endurance, isn't it, brothers?
Amen.
What say you, Brother Pergos? Any thoughts about moving through these verses here? Verse 1. Any thoughts on it?
It seems like Paul is an exceedingly special breed, and that he is not partial, which God hates. Because in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we cared so deeply that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well. That is how beloved you have become to us. So this isn't something special between him and one body.
Yeah.
It's with all of his bodies.
Great point, brother.
And when you read through some of his other letters, it seems like some people may have deserted him, but that's just a general observation.
Yeah.
It seems like Paul and Timothy were really special and really good at this job, because in Philippians 2:20 it says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state.
Yeah.
So, very good choice in choosing Paul for this mission.
Amen. Yeah, that's a great point, that Paul's not partial. He loved all the bodies, even when he had to bring a rod of correction, like to Corinth. And, if you ever get discouraged, brothers or sisters, and you look around and you go, wow, there's not many saints. Praise God, we know a handful. We have a united body, a handful of saints. But when you look around, Paul, when the Holy Spirit fell and 3,000 were born of God on one day, And I really doubt that's ever going to happen again. And then Paul, later in his ministry at times, said, you know, everyone's deserting me, as Brother Pergo said. So we're in the last days, and we're in a time when there's going to be even fewer saints. So it's a good thing to remember. And yeah, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, I quoted that verse, to imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so that's a command. And wow, what a high order for us to be imitating Apostle Paul and a young Timothy and ultimately Christ, the perfect example, and pouring ourselves out for the brethren.
Amen. Another thought I had was on the Book of Life. Oh, hey, Brother Kuo.
Hello.
Hey, Brother Kuo joined in. I hope you're doing well. We are going through. I just did a verse-by-verse, brother, in Philippians 4, 1 through 5, and we'll get that audio to you so you can listen to it. You're just coming in from work, and we're going through talking about Philippians 4, 1 through 5 right now, okay?
Okay. Yep.
Good to have you in, brother.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brother Zelos.
So, the part about the Book of Life, this is one of my favorite passages when it comes to that. Malachi 3:16-18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I wonder if that's how we get written into the Book of Life.
Yeah.
The Lord hearkens when we talk with one another about, we fear him and we talk often, and then he hearkens and heard it, and we're written into the Book of Remembrance and Life before him, it's kind of an awesome thought about how much God cares for the saints.
Amen.
It's one of my favorite passages.
Amen. Amen. When you read that and I think of written in the Book of Life, I think of all the times where the Bible says it is written. Jesus used that word himself, those words himself when he was refuting the devil who was trying to tempt him. And then I think how awesome it is, the word of God is written and then his people are written in a Book of Life. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, good connection.
Yeah. Brother Kuo, I know you're fresh out of working really hard. Any thoughts about, whip open your Bible, any thoughts about Philippians 4? We were talking about how Paul said that the body was his joy, his crown, they were beloved, they were dear, and then he goes through and tells us to stand fast. I know you and I were together today and we street preached together. We didn't get a chance to go over this area of scripture, but any thoughts? I'm putting you on the spot. You're right off out of work, but any thoughts?
I mean, I see the word yoke fellow. That kind of stuck out to me there.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Does that mean yoke together? Of those united by the bond of marriage. That's kind of an interesting. So, a true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So, a yoke fellow, I mean, I kind of preached about it today on the campus. My burden is easy. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. I suppose we're all yoked together. We put the yoke of Christ on. So my true yoke fellow is someone, it's kind of like you're an ox and you're yoked together. You yoked two oxes together. You're all pulling the same thing, doing the same thing, the same yoke. And it's the same yoke. It's not 400,000 different flavors of the yoke. It's just one yoke. And yeah, you're striving towards the same goal. So I guess that word stuck out to me right away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. I talked about that. Yeah. Being yoked together. It's a lot easier if you and I had to pull something. It's a lot easier if you and I can unite our power to pull it together, or you and I and Brother Pergos, and we unite together to pull it and make it happen, right?
Yeah, exactly. Walk in the same direction, not again, 40,000 different directions. One direction.
Amen.
One thing, one Lord. Yeah.
Amen, brother. Good observation. Good observation. What else, brothers? What else about Philippians 4, 1 through 5?
Something. A comment off of Brother Delos' comment about his Malachi 3, 16 through 18. The Lord does observe what people do. This verse in Acts came to my mind. Acts 10:4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God." This was when Cornelius was praying and he got a vision. And the Lord remembered what he did, sort of as Brother Zealous was alluding to in Malachi 3.
Yeah. Yeah, good connection.
So the Lord does see what you're doing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that reminds me, let me go look up a verse. Talk among yourselves while I go find this verse.
Yeah, that's an awesome point. And thank you, Brother Akua, for that point about the yoke, fellas. It just kind of made me laugh a little bit. Yeah. There's one yoke in one direction. We're not... Yeah, today was a contending day. Another thought that jumped out at me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You notice how our rejoicing is in the Lord. We're not told to just rejoice for the sake of rejoicing. We rejoice in the Lord. When we remember what the Lord did for us, then we rejoice in Him.
Yeah, that's a great point. The attention of your rejoicing, the focus of your rejoicing is what you're going after, brother?
Yeah, I mean, our joy is not just some... I'm not sure what you would say. I'm not sure what the correct word here is. Some just random emotion that we're supposed to have. It's because we're in the Lord that we rejoice in Him, because He is in us and we are in Him, and we have the hope of life through Him. Then we rejoice because of what He did for us and that we can walk in Him. It's kind of a back and forth, but it's all in Him and of Him, isn't it?
So what you're saying is Christ is our source of our rejoicing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Is He kind of like our living water?
Amen.
Is He like our manna? Is He like our manna from heaven, our bread of life?
Amen.
That's beautiful. All these things tied together.
He is life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great point. I wanted to read this verse. It was going back to what Brother Pergo said. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I like that. God sees everything, doesn't He?
Yeah. Amen.
I like that. Any other thoughts as we're going through this?
I guess one more thought to toss in: the joy of the Lord. Maybe the joy of the Lord is our strength. Might tie into why we're always supposed to rejoice in Him. I think there's a connection.
Explain it, brother.
Well, we're told to rejoice in the Lord always. Well, why do we do this? Well, we're also told the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we're always rejoicing and joyful in Him, then I guess it'll almost tie back. Scripture's always interconnected, isn't it?
Amen. It
probably
it
ties back to the armor of God and having on the helmet of salvation when we remember and keep Christ crucified always, and it guards us. It strengthens us. So.
Amen. Amen. That's a great point. Yeah, and.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Brother Cool.
I was going to say, I suppose we should kind of define what rejoicing and joy means for people, just so they don't have the wrong fleshly idea of rejoicing, jumping all around in your church building or anything like that.
Yeah.
What would be the proper definition of that?
Well, I'll take joy. Somebody else can take rejoicing. So joy, all through the Bible in the New Testament, the word is kara in the Greek, and it means calm and peace. It's not fleshly in any way. It's not jumping up and down. It's not exuberant on the outside. It's an inner calm. And I, in the teaching, when you listen to it, I likened like Jesus and Paul and Peter and the great men of the Bible, we see them always being, other than when they were righteously angry or rebuking false teachers, I get it, there's a time to rise up, they certainly did, but they had a calm and a peace about them, did they not?
Yeah.
That's the joy. Unlike the heretics, like Brother Zelos was at an event today where the heretics think joy is jumping up and down and yelling and screaming and running around waving flags. They think that's joy. No, that's fleshly deception. That's not the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that's what joy is. How about rejoicing? Who wants to take that one on?
I'll take it.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the Strong's definition of it, and it's kind of the same thing. It says to be full of cheer, that is calmly happy or well off.
Yep.
So it's like basically being glad or being full of like inner like joy, like you said, joy, being like peace and calm, being happy with where you're at, contentment. Yeah. Just like all of those feelings on the inside. It's nothing like fleshly where it's like movement on the outside or it's making you like laugh uncontrollably or whatever these NAR people say.
Yeah.
It's inner calm, inner cheer, being happy and well off, which is cool.
Yeah. You know what? Let me say this. I liken it to, I love it when the Bible talks about the bowels. Because when we think of bowels today, we think of, oh, you got like intestinal problems. But that's not what the word bowels mean. The word bowels in the Bible is like the inner core of your being. And so think about that calm and that peace being at your inner core. And I think before you got on, I was saying like if they were walking away to execute you in your flesh, you might think, oh, is this going to hurt? Or, oh, I'm, you know, this or that. But that inner calm in your core that God gives you is going to carry you through it all. And that's the difference. It's not an outside thing. Maybe if I say it this way, it's not an outside thing. It's a deep inner thing of the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
There's very little about the New Testament faith walk that is in the external.
Yeah.
Most of it is inside us, within us. I mean, I think the next verse ties into that, where I was thinking, let your moderation be known unto all men. It kind of like, I think it ties into this, our rejoicing and our joy is in the Lord, this inner calm and hope and peace we have in Him, but our moderation, which is basically our outward sign of what we do, kind of like, let your light shine before men, it's kind of the same, that should be known unto all men. But our joy and our calm and our and the spirit and everything is within us. It's not like external exuberance and jumping and leaping and shouting and screaming and waving and flapping and doing whatnot. No, it's within us. Joy of the Spirit. Our moderation, our light, our basically what we are in Christ and the light that was within us, we let, like, to be known means to be perceived. So men can perceive what is within us.
Yeah. Kind of.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Brother Purgos, what do you think about all that? Is Brother Purgos there?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was on mute listening for a second.
What do you think about that rejoicing? I'm sorry?
I definitely think that the inside characteristics will manifest to the outside world. But yes, the inside is exceedingly important.
Yeah, it's the core. It's the core of who we are, right? In the faith, it's not the flesh; it's the spirit. Because what's going to happen to our flesh? It's going to decay and become powder, right?
Or be transformed.
Yep, eventually. Yep, it will eventually. Yep, if you don't die, it's going to be transformed, or eventually it's going to be resurrected. Yeah, I was thinking about this, Matthew 8:26. This is our Lord. Unless he's bringing wrath, and unless he's bringing rebuke, this is our Lord right here and how he works. Matthew 8:26. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. To me, that's the epitome of who our Lord is. There's a steadfast, there's a calm, his character and nature never changes. It's a stillness about the Lord. To me, that's like one of his most amazing attributes And I love that. I love that. So, yeah, when we think about the joy of the Holy Spirit, yeah, we got to make sure we have it biblical, because Satan is having a field day in the false places. Like Brother Kuo said, people laughing, people giggling, people talking in unbiblical tongues. We just dealt with that with a young man not long ago. We were witnessing at street preaching, and I met this young man, and then he wanted to be Bible study and be discipled. And he literally, we're talking to him, and he said, "Well, I pray in tongues." And I said, "Well, we need to talk about that." And he said, "I can do it right now. You want me to do it for you right now?" And he was like ready to summons up his prayer tongue, like on the spot, like, you know, like you pull your wallet out. And I said, "I don't believe the Holy Spirit works that way." And so I think he has some other spirit going on there. So, always be on guard for these. Satan is making a move in these last days to counterfeit Christ, to counterfeit the Spirit, and to counterfeit the gospel. And we have to stand in the gap for any sheep that may see the truth and be warned to come out. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Anything else, gentlemen, on Philippians 4, 1 through 5?
The Lord is at hand. Do we talk about, like, we know the Lord is coming back. We know it's going to be, even Scripture, soon can be. We don't know, but we know that we could die tomorrow and go home. But we know the Lord is coming back. He's at hand, and this one verse jumped to mind. I think this is an awesome topic in itself. 2 Timothy 4:8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Yeah. I mean, the Lord is at hand. Are we waiting for, and are we going to love his appearing? I think that in and of itself is going to be kind of a test and almost a judgment on you. Are you going to love the appearing of the Lord and run towards him and rejoice when you see him coming and say, like, "Amen, come soon, Lord Jesus"? Or you're kind of going to be, "Can I have more time?"
Yeah. Or are you going to be the people in Revelation that say, "Hide us, the rocks and mountains fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb," because they know how much they've sinned and they refuse to repent, which probably in the tribulation will be most of the people.
Yeah, amen.
After they take the mark of the beast or whatever system that comes up and they're marked by it. So yeah, that's a great point. Are we looking for his coming? Brother Kuo, when you think about the coming of Christ, what do you think about?
Well, the verse that came to mind for me was Amos 5, verse 18, it looks like, to 20. So this says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it?" I think that's it's almost like I think about these like false Christians or like these professing Christians out there that desire the day of the Lord. "I want the Lord to come back. I want the Lord to come back." Yet they're in their false doctrine. So I always think of this verse where it's like, what end is it for you?
Yeah.
Like, you desire the day of the Lord, isn't it going to be darkness for you?
Yeah.
Like, because he's coming back in flaming fire. You better be sure you're going to love the day of the Lord.
Great point. So, great point, brother. Yeah. Hey, Brother Zelos, you were just at a place, and Sister Amma and I were at several of those events. Guess what they're always asking to come down?
The glory of the Lord, the presence of God.
Well, yeah, but guess what they specifically are asking for? I cannot believe Satan has them deceived. They're always asking for, Brother Kuo, do you know what they want? Lord, send the
fire, Holy Spirit, fire, 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 Holy Spirit, fire. I've heard that.
Thank you, brother. They literally are asking for God to send the Holy Spirit fire. And they would tell you, well, we mean like the flaming tongues on their heads in Act 2. But guess what? That's not what's coming in the last days. And Satan has them deceived. And guess what fire is coming? The Lord's fire of judgment and vengeance against all those that do not know God and do not obey the gospel. Do you see how Satan has them deceived? They are asking for fire, and God's going to send it, and it's going to burn them up.
Yeah, so there's kind of this contrast here between the biblical saints and the ungodly, and then the false converts somewhere kind of in the middle there, where you got like the biblical saints who are like, when these things come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh, and they're waiting for the coming of the Lord. To the ungodly, who are going to be looking for rocks to fall on them, and then kind of the false converts sort of in the middle here, who are like, Lord, 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 did we not do this in your name, and did we not do this in your name? And he's going to like, I never knew you, depart from me.
Amen.
You're not of me. And then like Brother Akul was saying, it's going to be darkness to you, because you're not walking in his light and truth, you're walking in false ways and sin. I mean, it amazes me a little bit. I mean, they claim Christ, they claim the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, and yet they have absolutely no reverence or respect for the Word of God and what it says. Do you not understand that this Word which I preach to you from the Word of God is what is going to judge you? Jesus said this. I judge no man. The words which I speak unto you, they will judge you at the last days. I mean, if I'm speaking God's Word to you, and you feel like I'm judging you, what are you going to do then? Because yep. I'm just a man who's reciting God's Word to you and through the Spirit and faith. What are you going to do when this word on his sword, like on his horse with the sword in his mouth, comes back to smite you and tread the wine press of the wrath of God here? Like,
amen.
Do you have a clue what's coming?
Yeah. And think about this. A lot of them talk about, again, it's a total false Jesus, false gospel, false spirit. Satan is a master masquerader, angel of light. Most of them will tell you, well, I'm not living holy now, but I'm being sanctified over time, and I'm going to be okay in God. In John 17:17, thy word sanctifies my people. They don't care about the word, but yet they claim they're being sanctified. They are deceived and headed for the wrath of God, and that's why if you can reach some that will listen, awesome. If you can't, God's glorified. They heard the truth, and they're going to have to give an answer to it.
Yeah. We go for the sheep, I guess. The sheep hear his voice and they come.
Amen. Amen. We leave the 99. We go looking for the one. And yeah, if they have ears to hear, eyes to see. And always be encouraged. You never know who's watching, listening, even when you didn't talk to them. They may be looking on the website. That's why it's always great to have your website put out there so they have a place to come and feast on the truth of God. So that's always a good thing to do. Brother Purgos, any last thoughts about this area of scripture?
The Lord is very near, so we need to make sure we have no bitterness or envy, so that way our garments are pure and clean. I was thinking of James 5:9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door.
Amen. Amen. Good point. Let us be pure. Let's be that spotless bride waiting for the bridegroom. Looking forward to that marriage supper of the Lamb, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen. Any last thoughts? We're going to leave it right there. If you have any last thoughts, now's the time.
That was all I had.
Brother Cool?
Yeah, that's all I have right now.
All right. Thanks, brothers. I think this will edify everybody. It'll go right with that verse-by-verse study. It'll be under the Ecclesia gathering that goes forth and shines light into the world. God be praised.
Amen.